You are listening to episode 97 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, The Pebble and Other Stuff. This is the part of the show where we start to run.
Oh my gosh, let's do it. I'm excited.
So this was a weird week where a lot of disparate things happened, nothing notable all on its own, you know, to have us talk incessantly about it really happened, but a lot of really interesting things, which, by the way, I noticed you have a story on Tuesday, which I have on Wednesday. I don't know how that's going to work. We'll figure it out.
Tuesday comes before Wednesday, so.
Well, fine. All right. You can talk about it, I guess. So what we're going to do is that semi-ish, rapid-fire-ish, you know that one.
Yes.
Where we hit a ton of stuff, relatively speaking, to what we normally do, being that we just took an hour on, like, three. Yeah. So.
which is our normal pace to talk.
Yeah. Let's talk about what about Bob?
Bob Mansfield. So Bob Mansfield was an executive at Apple Inc. in Cupertino, California. He retired, and then Apple freaked out and gave him an unbelievable amount of money so that he wouldn't leave. Talk about being, you know. What's the word?
Irreplaceable.
Irreplaceable. Yeah, Bob Mansfield clearly fit the mark. If you don't know who Bob is a cool engineer at Apple. He's focused primarily on hardware stuff. He is the civil engineer to Johnny Ives as the architect. So the architect, traditionally the guy who makes the building look pretty, and then the civil engineer is the one who actually says, okay, so this is how we're going to build that building.
I would describe him as he is the portly fellow on all of the Apple infomercials, where when he starts talking, they virtually take the case off and show you all the insides.
Yeah, he's the hardware dude. He's the guy who actually, like, you know, makes sure that all the different parts of the computer are there. Johnny Ives makes it look nice.
He makes it work nice.
Yeah, exactly. So what happened
to him?
So basically, he stepped down, got kicked off, who really knows, from the exec team. Actually, we all know. He stepped down from being on the exec team at Apple, which everybody freaked out about because, once again, he's a clutch dude at Apple Inc. Kind of makes sure everything has worked over the years. And that's why I got my Mac Mini. I wanted it to be one designed by Bob. I don't want the next generation one.
Okay.
Who knows what the quality will be?
Just wait till September 6th, you'll be kicking yourself.
I know. Dude, don't even make me think about it, okay?
I was kind of shocked.
I know. It was going to cost me $300 more to wait, so, or something. And it's just as.
Pennywise, like, pound foolish. Unless you're right, in which case, fine.
I hate you so much. Why would you even do this? I'm happy. I'm going to be happy. I know I'm going to be happy.
I know. You'll love it.
I know. Because it's got all... It's, whatever.
So the question is, do they hate Bob? Do they love Bob?
They love Bob. Basically, Bob has decided he doesn't like being an executive because he has to, like, deal with people. He can't just deal with computers.
I hate that.
Yeah, I know.
He's an engineer. It's forgivable.
He is an engineer through and through. So basically what he's saying is everybody loves Bob. A bunch of people have gone and talked to people at Apple, said, what's going on with Bob? And basically he's getting moved to work on special projects. And a lot of people think that means that he's working on some cool, like, futuristic, like, the next iPhone. You know, what's going to revolutionize Apple. I don't think that's the case. I think the case is, and what I've seen from my disparate reading is... that he is basically going to be working on less noticeable projects that really can't, that they'll never talk about at presentations, but will impact heavily. Basically, what they're saying is he's taking over the silicon manufacturing stuff. So as they start to build, you know, one of the things is they're trying to move away from Samsung, going with the Taiwanese silicon TSMI, And one of the things with them is that there's a lot of, as a fabless company, a company that does not own their own fabs, they can send engineers in and set up their own equipment and do their own stuff. But that requires somebody who knows what the heck they're doing to be at the helm of it all. On top of that, they just bought Passive, which is a company that designs super low power chipsets. So every mm-hmm. time they try to make better stuff, they bought that one company last year, I think it was, that's in Israel, and that does RAM and all the, or sorry, just solid state.
So they're helping with that stuff.
Basically, it's they've created this huge, you know, they've got this entire gigantic thing that they do now completely behind the doors, and yeah, he's making sure, I think he's taking over all of that is basically what it comes down to.
Cool. So he's not retiring, he's still working, just a little more behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
You're not going to get to see his portly face
it's all right.
on the screen. Yeah. That's so mean. But oh, and then the other exciting thing that got announced on Monday, Sony announced that currently Sony and Panasonic are jointly going to work on the next generation optical disc, which everybody's like, why?
What's an optical disc?
Yeah, Blu-rays, basically. What comes next? So after the CD, after the DVD, after the HD CD, then came the Blu-ray, and why? Because they think somebody will need it. But this is what's interesting. This is what's fascinating to me. Sony, obviously, with the Blu-ray, developed that on their own. They licensed all the technology themselves and to themselves. It gave them a price advantage early on, and then for like the PlayStation 3, and then they were able to license it, and people like Microsoft had to buy it because it was the winner. Well, this time they're doing it with Panasonic because I don't think they want to waste the money because they know that optical discs are dead after this. And on the off chance that somebody does need something, I mean, these things are going to be huge. They're going to have like... They're trying to get like
they're trying to go for the 4K stuff.
Yeah, basically
have it be 4K compatible.
They're talking about like doing like, you know, eventually having whatever laser technology they're using be able to get up to like get up to terabyte capacity discs. Like just insane capacities. And
which is kinda cool.
It is kind of cool, but
for long-term storage, you know.
Yeah, except the problem is, and this is what it always comes back to, is that usually the films that they use on CDs and DVDs, Blu-rays, aren't very durable compared to standard electric tapes. And so a lot of times long-term storage, people don't like to use these because they just don't have the same durability. They, you know, a CD is only really guaranteed to last about 10 years under normal conditions, which, you know, most people don't know. They think, you know, if you don't scratch, it'll last forever, but that's just not the case. And so these things are going to – but yeah, basically what they're saying is we still think there's a space for optical – for the optical disc format.
In the consumer market.
In the consumer market.
Wow.
But I think that they've decided that there's not enough money in there to own the technology themselves, so they're going to let Panasonic bear part of the cost.
Or to that, or Panasonic develop something that, you know, they need from a patent standpoint. So like, well, let's team up and do this.
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe if they get both of them on board, they won't have the knockout and drag out battle that happened last time. So they're thinking they'll come out with this in 2015. Is that what I read?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a
want to be able to do 300 gigabyte capacity by 2015.
3 years, right? Three years, 2 years, depending on your math.
That's huge. I haven't bought a physical disc in like three years, I think. For anything, video games,
I love walking through the store and they have like the bargain bins. I'm like, oh man, we could get these. My wife is just like, nope, we couldn't.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy a computer that doesn't have a disk drive.
I was gonna say, does the Mac Mini even have a disk drive anymore?
No, but I did read an article about a super drive, a super Blu-ray drive that I'm going to bookmark in case I suddenly get the urge and. You know, next 6 months. But I'm keeping my laptop around. Yeah, I'll keep my laptop around. Which my laptop has a Blu-ray disc drive in it that I've literally never used. Not even once. And which I think, you know, says something. For anything.
I used mine recently. What happened? I had one of my sewer lines I needed scoped because it was backing up. multiple times, and I had to figure out why. Turns out that's going to be an expensive fix later on.
Yay.
But the way I found out about it was they handed me a DVD and said, here's the video of what we took. And I got to watch them run the video through my pipe. And I had a DVD. I had to put it in the old drive to watch it.
And figure out how to do that.
And then it was funny, like my next inclination was, because as you know, our dad has some expertise in underground pipeline stuff. And so I was like, I want to share this with him, get his opinion. You know, what does he know? And so I was like, how do I want to digitize this and put it on YouTube so I can just share it with him. It was like how I was trying to figure it out, and what I tried didn't work. And so I punted and was like, whatever. I'll just wait until he visits next time and I'll show it to him. but that was my first like, oh, come on, just upload it on YouTube. You know, just live stream the thing, Timmy. Why are we wasting our time with a CD or a DVD? Come on.
Or at the very least, put it on a jump drive. If it needs a physical medium, you know, if you need a physical medium, put the medium on something that we can, you know, move, whatever.
Yeah.
So, nice job, right, Stoney. That's exciting.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yay.
Spend your time on that.
All right. Talk about what?
So I'm going to steal this one from you.
Go for it.
So Google has teamed up with AT&T. Oh, no. They have not teamed up with AT&T.
Yeah, no.
They've done the opposite.
Yeah.
Google has teamed up with Starbucks to give AT&T the boot.
Oh, man.
So, you know how when you go to Starbucks, you want to hop on Wi-Fi, you can get it for Frizzle.
But, you know, the problem is that when I'm at Starbucks, I'm usually jacked up on caffeine and want to move really, 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 really fast. And AT&T is not necessarily conducive to that.
But don't worry, because now, starting next month, with Google, you'll be able to surf the web at speeds up to 10x faster than
before.
Holy
cow.
If you're in a Google Fiber City, we're hoping to give you a connection that's up to 100x faster.
Holy cow.
So when you go, you will now see Google Starbucks as the SSID. Connect to it. Don't worry. It's not somebody trying to hack your computer. They're rolling it out to all 7,000 U.S. locations.
Wow.
Within the next 18 months, starting next month. So Google's kind of getting into the whole, like,
say,
we love Wi-Fi game.
This is a big deal.
Also did it for 31 parks in San Francisco earlier this month.
And I feel like that one's not as big of a deal because I feel like they've been working on these, like, you know, public Wi-Fi projects, like, on and off.
Cool,
it's sort of
6 years ago.
Yeah, you know, and it's nice to see them do it. But this one's a big deal because this one's, like, they're getting paid, and this is money that's going to directly go to fund more of the broadband, you know, telecom, you know, part of Google. It's, you know, this is the Google Fiber division, you know, or the same, you know, or brother of the division.
Yeah.
You know, this is them trying to become a telecom. And,
kind of backdoor, but yeah.
Yeah, and they're trying things that they know will work. They don't, you know, not go in the front door, but the back door. And I don't know.
But hey, you know what? If it's faster, cool.
It's faster. Well, it's exciting too, because I mean, it definitely, I'm sure AT&T's not thrilled with this.
Yeah.
Because, or maybe they are, I don't know, maybe they thought
probably
it was
not
a waste of money, but I doubt that. I think that they're like, you know, I think part of their problem is they don't believe it's possible. I think you're going to get a, you know, BlackBerry versus the original iPhone thing of when the iPhone was first announced, the execs at BlackBerry were like, it's not going to be able to do that. Don't worry about it. And it wasn't until they physically had one in their hand that they went, oh, shoot, it can do what they say it does. And I got a feeling that this is the same thing where AT&T's like laughing, thinking, go ahead, Sam, or go ahead, Starbucks. You're going to come crawling back to us in a year, and we'll be able to demand even higher prices because now you know. And I got a feeling that there's a little bit of ego going on at AT&T right now, and I think they're going to.
I think the other story here might be actually, it's not Google or AT&T, it's actually Starbucks. Because, you know, they did Square payments, which they said that's been going pretty well. And now they're teaming up with Google for Wi-Fi. They are very quickly trying to become the modern cafe, if you will. You know, they started with the, we're going to give you that Italian feel. We got you Italian names, hang out, have fun. They are really, I wonder if it's, you know, they felt the attack from like McDonald's and such. We're like, we make good coffee too, and we win in blind taste tests. Our coffee's good.
Because you put so much more sugar in it than anybody else, and that turns out that's what Americans like is sugar. I hate those blind taste tests. They're so stupid.
But anyways, I feel like Starbucks is, you know, they're doing what's that called? A blue ocean strategy, right? Where they say, you know what, we're all competing on coffee tastes. We're not going to do that. We're going to assume that that's table stakes and your coffee has to be warm and taste reasonably good. We're going to focus in other added value areas. And, you know, one of the ways is we could take mobile payments from you. They do the whole free music thing. And now they're like, and we're going to improve the Wi-Fi and make it reliable with a more trusted name, honestly, than AT&T.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting that they're taking these steps to really try to make themselves the modern workplace.
Well, it'll be
interesting to see where they head next with that.
I had an epiphany this morning because we were talking.
Ooh, I love epiphanies.
I was driving past Rasputin's Music in Campbell, California, and which, by the way, Siri has no idea what Campbell, California is, and I don't even know how to say it normal anymore because I've been saying it Campbell, California forever. I'm always like, Campbell. And Siri's like, where? What? I'm sorry, Matthew, but I don't know business locations. Like, oh, what the?
Really, it doesn't know Campbell, huh?
Well, it knows Campbell.
You have to say
it doesn't know. No. It knows Campbell. It doesn't know Campbell. And I always pronounce it wrong, and I've been doing it for so long that like my brain doesn't, it's difficult for me on the spot with Siri to say it right.
All right.
But anyways, Rasputin Music is a still thriving business in Campbell, and it used to be a competitor with Tower Records, but obviously Tower Records has just completely imploded. Question is, why do places like Amoeba Records in LA and Rasputin's survive in Campbell? And I think the answer is, and it's the only, you know, it's a culture thing. They've set up a place where people who like music like to go out and hang there, and they're willing to spend their money because they're not too much more expensive, but it comes with a culture. And so when you look at things like, you know, bookstores, which are going to go the way to CDs very, very, very quickly, you know, but people still like the culture of bookstores. They just don't like buying books anymore. And so more and more companies like, you know, Barnes & Nobles are becoming coffee shops with huge footprints and a giant stock of books. And what occurred to me today is, I wonder how long until Starbucks owners start to just put bookshelves in, you know, in their stores and get a little bit bigger footprint and just become the modern bookstore with two or three copies of all of, you know, just a different collections of books and with no intention of selling the books, just to have them there. It's like they've got music already because that's what they sell, a little bit of music.
You do whatever the bestseller is for that
right
week or month or whatever.
Exactly. I think what you're going to find is over time, and this was my epiphany, is that you're going to find that Starbucks becomes the bookstore of the future.
That's interesting. I was actually going the other direction. I thought they'd become more like an office, but I could see a bookstore.
Yeah, they're trying to do something. They're trying to become a place where people go and hang out, and I think...
Well, that's always kind of been their deal, right?
Yeah.
Stay as long as you want, no big deal. And then they're just trying to stay relevant in that world,
right,
maybe. I don't know.
So, yeah, kind of cool. Apropos of our conversations a while back, Samsung's a bunch of dirty liars, turns out. they're not actually liars so much as they like to
smudge
the truth a little bit.
What'd they do?
So Samsung announced their performance specs for their for a couple of different benchmarks that they for their CPU and GUI benchmarks. And so basically tests that are done specifically to compare apples to apples without your specific, you know, when you actually run this piece of software, what does the test perform? And these are tests that are designed to be able to run on all your different Android phones, different computers, different different iPhones and everything. So kind of gives you a decent way to actually compare across all the different platforms. And the Galaxy S4 did very well until somebody actually started looking at how the Samsung Galaxy S4 did very well in those tests. And basically what they found out was Samsung knew that those were just the tests they were going to do. So they optimized specifically for those tests. But if you do anything even sort of related, but not specifically those tests, you get major performance drops that aren't basically what they do is they give over more resources than they should during...
That's like teaching to the test, essentially?
Exactly. That's what they did, yeah. So it's like all those cool performance battery stuff that you get, they're not actually that good at it. They just like to pretend. So nice job, Samsung. Got your Galaxy S4 doing well, yeah. It's just one of those things where it goes back to... I mean, and the worst part about it is they didn't even do it particularly well. It's not like they beat the iPhone. I mean, come on. You know, if you're going to go out there and try to, you know, fake your way to the top, you know, at least go all the way. But maybe they're trying to hold back a little so it wasn't so obvious. But I don't know. It just drives me nuts. It's just a... It's one of those things where, you know, it's... It's the brilliance of the Apple stores. It's let people actually try the devices so they can see the performance while they're using it. And people will move over there because that's what really matters is the real-world performance. And Samsung's just trying to do everything they can to brand the model as the best phone out there.
You almost get the impression that they were given by top management they had to meet certain specifications, and so the engineers made it work.
Yeah, it's entirely possible.
I have a keep our mouth shut.
Yeah, no one will notice. That's true.
I've done demos before where like, make sure you print off of a mono printer, not a color printer, okay?
Yeah.
use this device. Trust me, it will work. Yeah. Don't use this other one. You know, I mean, play games like that, not like this, but yeah. You know, whatever. Interesting. Leave it to them.